The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Dr. David Jeremiah answers the question, what will we do in heaven?
Work won't have the connotation it has here. It will be the most joyous thing you can ever imagine. You'll be free to explore things you never dreamed of and carry them out to their fullest extension. Heaven will be that kind of a place. It will not be a place where you won't know what to do.
Revealing the mysteries of heaven, next on Life Today.
Today, I'm Betty, and this is James, and we are so delighted to have Dr. David Jeremiah back with us.
We really are, and I watch you over here on the monitor, because I think you're as cute as you can be. You know that? I mean, I think I say, God in heaven, what? How much wisdom you gave a 15-year-old boy to notice her. 15 years old, and I saw this girl, and got to know her, just saw the glory and the grace and the sweetest girl. I went home after the first date with her, and I grew up without a home, without a family. But I went back to the pastor's house. They let me use his car to take a girl in his church out, because I was had to leave my home. And I fell down on my knees, and I started crying. I said, God, I met a pure girl, really pure, and I want to thank you. Don't y'all think God led me in a good way? Do y'all agree he did? I know you're probably thinking, how in the world did she go ahead and go for you, buddy? It's a miracle of God. Dr. Jeremiah, you know, we've been blessed with wonderful, wonderful homes and families. And together we love God's family very much,
yes,
both of us.
Yes, we do.
I don't think we're just trying to get God's arms around his family. I think we're encouraging God's family to put their arms around a hurting world. And I believe it's time to do it.
Yeah, right.
We are. I think that's one reason you wrote this book.
Yes, sir.
Because there's a lot of people that are hurting who may not have even considered the God of heaven and earth. And many people who have considered it, they wonder, and some who go to church a lot, wonder, can I really know I'm even going to go there? Because we're going to live somewhere forever where there is no more of these things that really disgust us if we have any sensitivity to decency about us. We don't like the pain, the disease, the horrors of what happens here when there's hatred and malice and anger and rage and out of control humanity and wickedness. And you think, well, is there a place, or do we just die and we're gone? And we're a living soul, so people are really wondering. So the question is, revealing the mysteries of heaven, first of all, how can we even be assured there is a heaven?
Well, the assurance of it comes from the revelation that we have in the Word of God. God has promised us that. And I believe that there's even beyond that, the evidence that comes from the way that we have been created. I believe that God creates us with a hunger for heaven that cannot be satisfied with anything else. And people often say, you know, I know there's something missing. I wish I knew what it was. Then they find Jesus and they discover that the emptiness of their heart has been filled with the Lord Jesus Christ. So not only do we have his revelation in the scripture, we have the actual creation of humanity with this void that cannot be filled any place else except in the ultimate arms of the Lord in heaven. And I have no question about the fact that there is heaven. Even skeptics, even secular people who try to reason heaven out of their routine, when they are serious, they know that death is not the end, that there's something beyond that. Not just for those who know Jesus. There's an eternal life that is, you know, everybody's going to be alive somewhere forever. Yeah. And best get that straightened out while you can.
And you know, if people are miserable or depressed or hurt or whatever, it's obvious they're trying to escape something here that is anything but heaven. And they get high, addicted on alcohol or drugs, or get high on something they smoke, and opioids and other, let's say, drugs. They're trying to get away from something which in itself implies a desire for something greater and better and beyond all of this. So there is that inborn desire. The question is, how can a person know that they're going to be in heaven? One of the questions in the book that you touch on is, how do you get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, which the people in the Lamb's Book of Life, go to heaven. So how do you get your name in
there? Let me just give you a little background on the Lamb's Book of Life. In the Roman and Greek cities during which the Bible was written at that time, they had a registry for the people that lived in their city. If you lived in this city, your name would be on the registry. If you did something that was immoral, or perhaps you killed somebody, or you did something terribly wrong, they would take your name off of the blotter, and you would no longer be on their list. The Scripture teaches us that when we are born, whoever we are, our names are all in the Book of Life. If we get to the place where we die and we haven't accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, our name is removed from that list. But if we're Christians, if we've trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we cannot be blotted out of that list. We will always, the Bible says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish.
And no one can pluck them out of my hand.
That's right. And the Bible teaches us that the Book of Life is simply like the registry of the city. Everybody's name is there, but if you don't trust Jesus Christ, that's the cardinal sin. That's unbelief. That's the one sin that keeps you out of heaven, unbelief. And your name is blotted from the list. So make sure you don't go through your whole life and not receive Jesus Christ, because if you do, you won't be in heaven.
And hell was not created for us. It was created for the devil and his angels. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the word angel too, it's a messenger. So the people here that reject the truth that sets us free, he goes to prepare a place for us, come back to get us. He is the way to the Father. No one comes there. Right. And the Father's in heaven in this place, the way, the truth, and the life there. So this is the way to heaven. This is the way to have your name there and never ripped out. So the fact is that the hell that's been prepared was prepared for people who did not receive that, who in essence joined the messengers of the devil to carry Satan's message against Jesus, against receiving the salvation he freely offers, and they actually become unwittingly perhaps a messenger of deception and destruction, and they're contributing to this rapid race into the pit of destruction. Whereas when we come to Christ, we find life. Is this decent preaching right here, sir?
Well, I'm not your homiletics professor, but I'll tell you that the fact is, probably more than ever before in my whole life, it seems like people are hell-bent on taking people to hell.
That's exactly it. They become the messenger.
The Bible says they say good is evil and evil is good, and they turn everything upside down. It is almost maddening to watch it. It's never been like this before. And on the other hand, the gospel is still being preached and people are still finding Christ, and they're discovering that not only when they become a Christian do they get this life, but they get the life to come as well.
One of the interesting questions that people ask, and you've pointed this out in the book, is, well, when we die, do we just go and just rest until the rapture comes? And we just write this, you know, for however long until he comes.
Well,
this didn't really look like a lot of fun. And you talk about, boy,
no.
I don't look like I'm just jolly
James,
over here.
You probably do need to get some more sleep, but let me answer this question. Here's the deal. I had a little girl come up, ask me this one day after church. She said, you say that when we die, we go to heaven, and then somebody dies and we bring them to the church and put them in a box, and then we put them in the ground. Now, which is it? And I said, well, it's both. Here's what the Bible teaches. When you die, your soul and spirit go to be with God. Your body goes in the grave. One day, the Bible says, Jesus Christ is coming back, and when he comes back, the dead in Christ, those whose bodies have gone in the grave, shall rise first. And the Bible says, when they rise from the grave, they're going to be reconnected with their soul and spirit that's been with God. They'll be in their new body.
Yeah, and the corruptible becomes incorruptible.
And the Bible says,
I'm going to help you with your teaching here.
So shall we always be with the Lord, it says.
That's it.
Amen.
Amen.
And so the answer to it is, The Bible says the body goes in the grave, the soul and spirit go to be with God. And so it is true when somebody dies and you bring their body to church, they're not there. Just their body is there, just the house they lived in. Mm-hmm. And but it's still, I've noticed in our culture in California, we don't even have those kind of services. Most of the time they have a service at the cemetery and then they come back to the church and they have a time of rejoicing over the life of the person who has gone to be with the Lord. But there is a lot of confusion about that. And I think the Bible is pretty clear about it.
What do you do in heaven? That's a question that people ask. Yeah. Followed up with that, what you referenced yesterday about it not being boring. Well, so what do you have any idea of what we're doing? You've already discouraged me about maybe I can't fish. I mean, yeah, and you also, we ask you a question about whether or not there'd be any pets in heaven. And, you know, and you had this unbelievable answer about
it. You know what? Let me tell everybody something. We did a little experiment at Turning Point. We did some emails when we were teaching this to see what would we get the most interest from people. And you know what question got the most interest by a whole lot? It was the question, are there pets in heaven? Everybody wanted to know
that's
that.
That's an important question, sir.
Yeah, right. Well, a little girl gave me the best answer I've ever heard. This is what she said. She says, I don't know why everybody asked that question, because when Jesus comes back at the end of time, he's riding on a white horse. So there you go.
And that horse came out of heaven.
You know, a lot of the questions people want to know answers to, I don't have any revelation from the scripture, but what we're going to do in heaven, James, is what we've always enjoyed doing here, unfettered by all the things that have held us back from doing it the way we wanted to do it. Mm. We're going to sing like we've never sung before. We're going to worship like we've never worshiped before. We're going to serve like we've never served before. We will not have any restraints whatsoever. When we go to work for God, there won't be anything standing in our way. There won't be anything trying to hold us back. The curse of Genesis will be gone, and the work that we do will be so full of joy, it will be like, you know, somebody once told me, if you get to do what you love 75% of the time, you haven't worked a day in your life. Well, that's kind of the way I feel about what I do. I love what I do, and it doesn't seem like work for me. But in heaven, work won't have the connotation it has here. It will be the most joyous thing you can ever imagine. You'll be free to explore things you never dreamed of and carry them out to their fullest extension. Heaven will be that kind of a place. It will not be a place where you won't know what to do.
Go ahead.
I'm sitting here thinking about being heavenly minded. I've heard that said so mm-hmm. many times. And to me at first I thought, well, does that mean people are heavenly minded? They want to escape and forget about the world and get out of here. Well, I've come to look at it in a whole different way, in that being heavenly minded is being in this world but not of this world. Mm-hmm. And also heavenly minded is God's love, God's grace, God's forgiveness, God's trust in Him, mm-hmm. and the things of God is being heavenly minded, thinking heavenly minded.
Betty, I have a little thing I do. Everybody teases me about it in my family. When we travel out of the country, I refuse to reset my watch. I want to always know exactly what time it is in San Diego. I don't care what time it is anyplace else. I can calculate that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to set our watch on heaven's time and never let the earth and what's going on down here keep us from understanding that heaven is really the reality. We're not going from a land that's living to a place that's dying. We're going from a place that's dying to a place that's living.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Heaven is right. where our mind ought to be. Amen.
Isn't there a line there we've got to be careful about, and that we don't become so earthly minded we're of no heavenly use, but could you become so there minded that we're not making the kingdom impact?
Well, that's if you really understand the joy of heaven, how you get there, why God wants you to, you know, the scripture is very replete in the New Testament about the fact that Jesus wants us with Him. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Somebody once told me that Jesus loves you so much that if he had a refrigerator, your picture would be on the outside of it. You know? And that means he wants you to be with him. Right. Now, I'm going to heaven. I'm excited about going to heaven. But what God has put in my heart is I want to take as many people with me as I can. Mm-hmm. So I have devoted my life to teaching and broadcasting and writing and trying my best to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with as many people. I want to get to heaven and have many people that are there because God allowed me to be an influence for him while I'm on my way to heaven. Yes. That's what my goal and purpose is.
Well, you know, you and I have joined together in a goal to really make a, let's say, reveal heaven on earth by the love of God. Do you believe that we as Christians have a responsibility not to turn any field, like our own fertile field? Paul said our life is a cultivated field. It's supposed to bear and bring forth fruit. He's given us oversight over all that God has created. We're overseers, and we're supposed to be heavenly-minded, making a kingdom impact. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that it's important for Christians to recognize as stewards and as representatives of heaven and the kingdom of heaven and the King of heaven that we want to give wise oversight to what God left us to oversee? Mm-hmm. And many Christians seem to have left that up to the deceiver as though it didn't matter who runs the schools, ruined the schools, runs the country. How important is it for Christians? Because you and I started praying together that the weight of God's glory, kingdom, and truth would impact planet Earth. And I don't think we're praying amiss there. So what would you say to the church about our responsibility right now?
Well, our goal is to bring the influence of Jesus Christ and the impact of heaven right into the world in which we live today. And we are stewards of that influence, and we are to do it with all of our hearts. And obviously, we've taken some steps in that direction that have been misunderstood and sometimes criticized by others. But if I'm going to be criticized, I'd rather be criticized for doing something than for not doing anything. Like one old boy said, I like the way I'm doing it better than the way you're not doing it. and what that means is we have to stand up and be counted for who we are. If we're Christians, we don't have to be ashamed of that. We can stand up and be counted for, and we need to do that with all of our hearts, with grace, and speak the truth in love and live out what we believe so that it can make a difference in our world. If we don't do that, we're being unfaithful stewards, in my estimation.
Well, you appreciate this wonderful man of God, a true to God. Jesus left us here to be witnesses for him. One of the main ways we witness is by sharing his love. Every person that I know that has become close to me and Betty in any kind of communication through the mail, through email, through personal interaction, tells us they've never experienced any greater joy than considering the least of these. Those that are too often overlooked, giving them food or water and showing them Jesus. And to think, Dr. Jeremiah, we have saved millions and millions of lives by giving them food and clean water, but leading them to Christ. The missionaries have pointed out to us in the areas where we've saved maybe 10 or 15 million lives, more people than that, because influence, have trusted Christ as their Savior because they saw it. So what we're doing right now, giving people water for life, is given because of the water of life and the transforming effect. We're asking you right now to help us drill water wells because of God's love flowing through you. Betty, you're going to be especially moved when you hear Sheila tell what a mother shared with her. And we are the miracle answer to what you see. You, listen to me, you're the miracle. I promise you. Watch.
In the driest regions of Africa, there's often only one place to find water. Deep underground. So deep, in fact, that it takes two people a full week of digging to reach it. Well, despite their efforts, these hand-dug wells aren't deep enough, and the water remains unclean, causing widespread illness from waterborne diseases. And recently, we learned of another danger we did not expect.
Kamu pemandangan dia aku mukaropon sapa sih, lo wah aku deh. Nanti saya kaman. Saya kau nemu dekanya mukaku ambil mukong kiri. Kau yang kau suka kuliah, kau yang kau cina mukong komodisi. Kamu anak.
It's an unimaginable tragedy, a mother's worst nightmare. And yet, the reality surrounding Mercy and her family, the utter lack of safe water sources, demands that they live with the risk.
I don't want one more mother to go through, you know, what Mercy has gone through. But this is something that you and I can do something about. This did not need to happen. And that's why we're here. She's not asking for a lot. She's just looking for a place to send her children to actually get, for the first time in their lives, clean water.
Lord Jesus, I just want to ask you to please become the miracle that will stop the tragedy that we just witnessed. Trying to get water from an unclean source, drowning in the very source that gave them hope for life. Please help our viewers to be the miracle answer and to rejoice doing it in Jesus' name. You know, Sheila Walsh is such an incredible blessing. Betty and I marched into hell for a heavenly cause over there in those areas for more than 20 years. It is one of the greatest joys we had when we saw the pain and the heartache and knew what love could do. Because viewers of Life Today all over the world decided not to love in word only, but in deed. We didn't have any idea if you would become the answer to their heart cry and their prayer. Those people dug a borehole that was not safe and not clean and contaminated, leading many to a slow death. Here's a child that fell in the source of water and drowned. Listen to me, when I say we, you've got to understand, it's not like me and Betty. It's we, the people together, the family of God joining. We drill a well. You paid for the drilling rigs. Tremendous sacrifice to pay nearly $500,000 for many of them, 300 and some odd thousand for the least expensive. You paid for that with love. We can drill the well. We seal it. It's safe. We give them a manual pump that they can work. A child can work it. And they get the water out, and it's safe and it's clean. Even at schools where we know children need water, we put a merry-go-round in many of them. They play on that, and it pumps water up into a holding tank. Very creative these missionaries are, and it's your love that makes it possible. So we're asking you right now to join us and help us drill wells. $4,800 is the average cost. That in itself is a miracle. Some of you can do that, and many tell us it's the greatest joy of the year for us. You can give a part of a well. You can give $2,400 and pray somebody joins, or $1,200 and pray three will. But Betty, most of the people give like $48, and that gives 10 people water the rest of their life. You can triple that and give 30 people water for the rest of their life. There's a level at which everybody can participate. Betty and I are going to be sitting here praying right now that you will be moved by God to go online or dial that number and take your bank card and make the gift God puts on your heart. We're going to send you Dr. Jeremiah's book on heaven, revealing the mysteries of it. You're going to be blessed mightily by it. Great source of comfort to you and others you love. But you're going to be giving life. And not only life because of the water they get, but they're going to hear about the water of life. And they, too, can experience the joys of life in the presence of God. Experience His love now. Be with Him forever. Would you please go get that card? Go online or make that call. Thank you so much for doing it.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of 5. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you Prayers for My Physical Health, a Bible-based collection of 52 prayers designed to bring strength, healing, and renewal to every area of your body. Covering a wide range of physical needs, this beautifully crafted book encourages intimate conversations with God. With a gift of $100 or more, you may request the Armor of God Tumbler Set. These two 20-ounce stainless steel tumblers, each inscribed with Ephesians 6:11, are a practical and meaningful way to carry a reminder of God's strength and protection throughout your day. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Lion of Judah. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Well, you've given the greatest gift. You've given life. Thank you so much. We want to send you this incredible book. Betty and I say Dr. Jeremiah is one of our favorite people to listen to. We're not exaggerating. He's a gift from God. What he writes, and boy, you talk about love dedicated to bless you. Here it is. We'll send it to you just to say thank you for giving life to someone else and pointing them to the way to experience heaven forever. Join Betty and me in saying thanks to Dr. Jeremiah. Thank you. What a blessing you are.
Thank you.
Joy to have you here with us. Thank you for watching Life Today. Tell your friends to watch. Tell them Dr. Jeremiah's here.
For over 60 years, Life Outreach International has shared the transforming truth of God's love in both word and deed. Our ministry to the lost and hurting is only made possible because of the prayers and generous gifts of our friends and partners who provide consistent, faithful support. Call now or go online to become a friend for life. Your monthly support will help us continue to bring God's love, hope, and healing to a world in need. One life at a time.
Dr. Don Colbert addresses the impact of toxic emotions on our overall health and helps us get into the spiritual health zone tomorrow.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.